This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The world and all the glory to him. He born in humans to be the best and give his best to religion to them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back, my dear viewers, to another live edition of Gardens of the Pious. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. My dear viewers, today's episode is number 753 in the Blessed Series of Riyad al-Salihin. In the previous few episodes, we've been discussing what Allah the Almighty has prepared for the dwellers of paradise. And this is the fourth episode in the same line. Such glad tidings and beautiful news. And it will encourage the person to work harder. And it will encourage the believer to endure patiently all the hardship that he or she may experience in this life, recognizing that it is very short, it is very transient, it is very brief. Then afterward, جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, heavens as wide as the heavens and the earth all together will be waiting for him. غَرَسَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَرَامَتَهَا بِيَدِهِ, the Almighty Allah himself is the one who has prepared it for his awliya, for his loved ones. May the Almighty Allah make us all among them. In the previous episode, we came across a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ was talking about when Moses, peace be upon him, asked the Almighty Allah about the least share for the least person will enter paradise. And we enjoyed that so much. Today's episode will also begin by another hadith. Hadith number 1884. Hadith number 1884. And this is a highly profound hadith. Muttafaqun ala sahati. This hadith has been collected by the two great Imams, Bukhari and Muslim. And in this hadith, which is narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the reward and the share of the last human being who will enter paradise. So let's hear the hadith in Arabic, then the English meaning, then we'll shed some light on it and enjoy. عن ابن مسعود أي عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لأعلم آخر أهل النار خروجا منها وآخر أهل الجنة دخولا الجنة رجل يخرج من النار حبا فيقول الله عز وجل له اذهب فادخل الجنة فيأتيها فيخيل إليه أنها ملأة فيرجع فيقول يا ربي وجدتها ملأة فيقول الله عز وجل اذهب فادخل الجنة فيأتيها فيخيل إليه أنها ملأة فيرجع فيقول يا ربي وجدتها ملأة فيقول الله عز وجل له اذهب فادخل الجنة فإن لك مثل الدنيا وعشرة أمثالها أو إن لك مثل عشرة أمثال الدنيا فيقول أتسخر بي أو تضحك بي وأنت الملك؟ قال فلقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضحك حتى بدت نواجذه فكان يقول ذلك أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة. متفق عليه. As I mentioned earlier, in this hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, I know of the last of the dwellers of hell to be taken out of it, and the last one to enter Jannah. So now we're talking about the same person. Somebody whose good deeds were not good enough. So his bad deeds outweighed the good deeds, and he was taken to hellfire. Now after a while, after he has been purified, he will be the last person to exit from hellfire. And meanwhile, he will be the last person to enter Jannah. Why? Because he was a believer. But simply his good deeds were not enough to make him catch up and enter Jannah from the first time. So he is a man who will come out of hellfire, crawling on all fours. Allah, the Lord of glory and honor, will say to him, go and enter heaven. He will go to it and think that heaven is filled up and doesn't have any room left. So he will come back to Allah and say, oh my Lord, it is full up. So the Almighty Allah will say to him, go and enter heaven. And he will again go to it and think it is full up. So he will turn back to Allah and will tell him the same. Allah will again say to him, go and enter Jannah, for you have what is equal to 10 times the world. He will say, are you making fun of me? While you are the king, you are the Lord. At this, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the narrator, said, I saw the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, laugh till his premolars were visible. And he said, such man will be the last dweller of Jannah and in its lowest rank. So, what did we learn from this hadith? We have learned a lot. We've learned fact number one. Not because one said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then he's automatically going to Jannah. No. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati falahum ajrun ghayru mamnun. You've got to do good deeds. Faman kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. A combination of two things. You do the good deed, and you do it for Allah's sake. Sincerely for Allah's sake. So those who get up in the morning to go to a place of worship, to worship other than Allah, they're making an effort. They're making hard effort. But it's all in vain. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Shall we not inform you about the greatest losers in respect of deeds? Yeah, who are they? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَابِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. There were people who were doing good deeds, but they were not doing this for Allah's sake. They thought they're doing good, but their deeds were either not good, or they were good, but not for the sake of Allah. When somebody says, I pray, you pray to whom? Non-Muslims pray to other than the Almighty Allah. So they think they pray. Are they praying? No. Rather, they are declaring disbelief. So any good deed they do will not be accepted, whether worship or otherwise. There are some Muslims who pray, but they associate with Allah others in worship, either through showing off or literally by invoking other than the Almighty Allah. That too is wasted. And that's why the Almighty Allah said, Al-akhsarina a'mala, not al-khasirina, akhsarina, the greatest losers in respect of deeds. Such people will not exit from hellfire. Listen carefully. Because as we were talking earlier, somebody who would be purified after 7 years, 10 years, Allah knows best. Not the disbelievers, not those who used to invoke other than the Almighty Allah. We're talking about those who have declared in their lives, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. None have the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah. And then their bad deeds outweigh their good deeds. Or they did not fulfill what Allah have ordained upon them. They used not to pray. They used not to fast. They used to commit adultery. Purified in hellfire. Then after Allah the Almighty gives them enough punishment out of His mercy, will take them out of hell and admit them to Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Only those who declare the oneness of Allah. So the two facts which every Muslim must keep in mind, that number one, not because you said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah that you're going straight to Jannah. You have to prove it. You've got the key, but the key doesn't turn. Why? Because it is not the right key. You need to get the right key. Fact number two, a person who believed in the oneness of Allah, no matter how terrible, how sinner he or she were, and how big were their sins, even major sins, eventually, one of two things may happen. Number one, that Allah Almighty may forgive them their sins automatically, even without questions. It's up to Him. And number two, Allah Almighty may put them to punishment. Then after they're being purified, He will admit them to Jannah. So a believer who has an atom weight of faith in his heart, لا يخلد في النار أبدا, will not abide eternally in hellfire. In the beautiful hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When we gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, بايعوني على أن لا تشركوا بالله شيئا ولا تقتلوا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تأتوا ببهتان تفترونه بين أيديكم وأرجلكم ولا تعصوني في معروف. Six articles of faith. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فمن وفى فله الجنة. Whoever fulfills, his word will be to enter paradise. ومن أصاب من ذلك شيئا فعوقب به فهو كفارة له. Whoever will fulfill these articles of faith shall enter paradise. But whoever indulges into any of these major sins, then the Almighty Allah, it's up to him on the day of judgment. إن شاء عذب وإن شاء غفر له. He may pardon him and forgive him without any reason other than the Almighty Allah have mercy on him. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَ, and if he will, he would punish this person. Then, either way, we're talking here about somebody who's been sent to hellfire, and he's been there, Allah knows best, 10 years, 20 years. Remember, the Almighty Allah saying that the days and the hereafter are not like our days. No, he said, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. A single day on the day of judgment will be as 1,000 years of our time. Be careful. كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. And finally, the last believer who was purified from his or her sins and hellfire, it's time to be taken out of hell. To where? To Jannah. It's either Jannah or not. When the Almighty Allah would allow him to come out of fire, he would be walking, crawling on all fours, punished, tortured. And then Allah the Almighty will give him the glad tidings. Udkhulil Jannah, go ahead and enter paradise. So when he enters Al-Jannah by the leave of Allah, he will think it is full. Everyone has their properties. You say, Allah, the room. So Allah again will order him, go and enter Al-Jannah. Couple times. And then he will assure him when he says that there is no room for me, it is filled up. He will say, wouldn't it make you happy to get 10 times of the entire world and what it contains? In the previous hadith, 10 times the positions and the domain of any of the kings of the dunya. Now, in this hadith, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ talks about 10 times of the entire dunya and what it contains. Brothers and sisters, when we travel the world, we see beautiful places. I'm in Johannesburg, currently in South Africa, and it's a beautiful place. The whole of South Africa is like a piece of heaven on earth. When you see that, you only think about what Allah has prepared for Ahlul Jannah, which no eye have ever seen, no ear have ever heard of, and it did not cross anybody's mind. Beyond imagination, mashallah. So when you see that, you think about what Allah has prepared for Ahlul Jannah. If this is going to be the reward of the least human being, the last person who will enter Jannah, 10 times as much as the entire world and what it contains. So this person will look at Allah and say, أَتَسْخَرُ بِيُّ أَنْتَ مَلِيُّ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Are you making fun of me and you are the Lord of, and you are the King and you are... So the Prophet ﷺ smiled until his molars were visible. Because, you know, the servant still doesn't understand him, whom he's talking to. He's talking to the Almighty Allah. And what Allah has prepared for Ahlul Jannah is beyond imagination. We'll take a short break. Then inshallah we'll resume with the rest of the ahadith before we'll be able to open the phone lines to take your calls. Please stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back, my dear viewers. The following hadith is hadith number 1885, which is narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, and this is also a highly profound hadith. As a matter of fact, it is agreed upon its authenticity. So muttafaqun ala sihhatihi, I mean. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu narrated أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن للمؤمن في الجنة لخيمة من لؤلؤ واحدة مجوفة طولها في السماء 60 ميلا للمؤمن فيها أهلون يطوف عليهم المؤمن فلا يرى بعضهم بعضا متفق عليه. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in heaven, the believer will have a tent made of a single hollowed pearl, of which the length, the height will be 60 miles in the sky. The believer will have his wives with him, and he will visit them one after another, and they will not be able to see one another. This is one of the hadith which describes some of what Allah Almighty has prepared and His bounties which He has prepared for the believers in Jannah. May Allah make us among them. And when you say it's unimaginable, the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, or in Florida, or whatever, cannot be more than 100 meters. How could you say 60 miles? A dome, a tent, without pillars, without poles, 60 miles the height towards heaven. How is it possible? That's why we say we're not dealing with the engineers of the dunya. We're not dealing with the calculations of our worldly life. We're dealing with the Almighty Allah, the creator of everything that existed. And what He has shown us in this life is just an example. When you check out and dissect a honeybee or a fly or a mosquito, when you go to the zoo, when you go to the wildlife, and check out the amazing animals and the wildlife, whether animals or insects or birds or the sea world. He can't but say, SubhanAllah, unbelievable. How did this happen? Obviously, there is a founder. So if you like what you see, this is nothing compared to what Allah the Almighty has prepared for Ahlul Jannah. So work hard for it. Instead of questioning the credibility or the possibility or the accessibility, look, from the beginning we said the Almighty Allah said in the sacred hadith, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That's it. So no matter what kind of hadith describes whatever bounty of Allah the Almighty that He has prepared for Ahlul Jannah, it's not even a scratch in the surface. What you will see is beyond your imagination and the imagination of anyone of the creation of the Almighty Allah. So all his wives will be in this one single pearl tent, a tent made of pearl, pure. And the height is 60 miles, not 60 yards, towards the sky. SubhanAllah. May Allah make us from among Ahlul Jannah. And then I will take maybe one more hadith. And then inshallah we'll open maybe one or two more ahadith. Then we'll open the floor for questions and answers. Hadith number 1886. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu an al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna fil jannati shajara yasiru al-rakibu al-jawad al-mudammar al-sari'a 100 سنة ما يقطعها. متفق عليه. In another narration, in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, يسير الراكب في ظلها 100 سنة ما يقطعها. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this hadith, which is narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, in Jannah, there will be a tree, huge tree, that if a rider of a swift horse has to cover its distance from one end to another, it will be in 100 years, and he will not be able to cover it. In the other narration, which is by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a rider will not be able to cross its shade even after traveling for 100 years. Whether the shade or the tree itself, basically both provide the same meaning. A tree, you travel in its shade for a day? No, I didn't say a day. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say a day. A year? No, he didn't say a year. He said 100 years. Walking? No. Riding? Yes. And riding what? A swift horse. What is so strange about that? If one single day, as the Almighty Allah said, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ, the 24 hours of the Day of Judgment will be like 1,000 years of our time. Not like the 24 hours of our time. I think we have one last hadith, then inshallah we'll be more than happy to take your valuable calls and concerns. Hadith number 1887, which is also narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, and it is also agreed upon its authenticity. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أهل الجنة لا يتراءون أهل الغرف من فوقهم إن أهل الجنة لا يتراءون أهل الغرف من فوقهم كما تراءون الكوكب الدري الغابر في الأفق من المشرق أو المغرب لتفاضل ما بينهم. قالوا يا رسول الله تلك منازل الأنبياء لا يبلغها غيرهم. قال بلى والذي نفسي بيده رجال آمنوا بالله وصدقوا المرسلين. متفق عليه. أبو سعيد الخدري, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the messenger of Allah peace be upon him said, the dwellers of heaven will look at those in the upper abodes above them as you look at a shining star which remains in the eastern or western horizon. Such will be the difference in superiority which some of them have over others. The messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, was asked, will those be the dwellers and the dwelling places of the prophets which no one else would be able to reach? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, but by him in whose hand my soul is, men who believed in Allah and acknowledged the truthfulness of the messengers will reach them. Yani, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the difference between the different ranks in Jannah would be like you're sitting here and you see the stars. Some of the stars in the east, some of the stars in the west, some of the stars above you. And astronomers will inform us, this star is like 1,000 light years far from us. And it will take that many light years. What? So it's not reachable? No, it's not reachable whatsoever. We can only see it with sophisticated telescopes. So we know that it exists, but no one has ever been there. Why? Far away from us. So likewise in Al-Jannah, you will see some people will be far away from you, like you see the stars. Yani Al-Jannah will not be a single floor where all people will be on that floor. No, huge spaces. And the superiority will be given to the prophets. And also there will be some people who believed in them and supported them and followed them will be with them. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened this door of competition wide. He didn't say, not a chance. No, you cannot achieve that. You have some ahadith in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. When you ask Allah for heaven, ask Him for the highest, aim high. What is the highest? الفردوس الأعلى. The highest place in Jannah is called Firdaus. Right on top of it is the throne of the most beneficent. It will be the abode of the prophets and the messengers. And will be any of us with them? Yes. أن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Verse number 69, chapter number 4, Surah An-Nisa. So yes, you can be with the prophets. Work hard in order to be eligible to be there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Have mercy on all of us, pardon us and forgive us all our sins and admit us to Al-Firdaws Al-A'la min Al-Jannah. For the sake of time, instead of taking another break, I would simply be more than happy to start taking your calls if you have any. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah, Habiballah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the final segment in today's episode of Gardens of the Pious, all the way live from Johannesburg, South Africa. Our phone numbers should appear on the bottom of your screen, and I believe we already have some callers. Sister Iman from Belgium, welcome to Huda TV. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Iman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Go ahead.
So I have one question. It's about
Yeah.
a friend of one of my relatives who organizes a surprise baby shower for this relative of mine because she's pregnant, and I would like to know what the ruling is on this, if it's permissible to attend, if it's imitating the disbelievers or not. Jazakumullah khair.
So, Sister Iman, let me ask you this. I would like to refresh my memory with regards to the baby shower, which is an occasion that before the baby is born, family members and family friends get together to start buying stuff for the toddler, for the baby before he or she is born, to prepare for their birth, to assist the mother. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. As a matter of fact, not everything that non-Muslims do automatically is haram. Islam acknowledged and approved many practices of non-Muslims as long as they are in line with the spirit of Sharia. Didn't Allah the Almighty say, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى? He commanded us to help one another in achieving and in doing what is good and what is righteous. So, I have found in the States and in the West, the wish list for before the wedding or before the baby is born, particularly before the wedding, the couple are in need for what? Kitchenware, pressure cook, stove, fridge, sofa bed, whatever. So the family members and the loved ones, they go and they deposit the money towards purchasing this at Walmart, at II, whatever, whichever store, department store. Likewise, we know that our sister is pregnant and will give birth in a couple of weeks, and it's a baby girl. So we got together and we started buying stuff. As a surprise, she already know because she's been helping others previously in the same way. Is this permissible? This is permissible. This is permissible. Because this is one of the means of showing solidarity and helping one another. As you all know that at the time of wedding, at the time of birth, we need financial assistance. So instead of giving, in some Muslim countries, they give cash. Okay? They take this opportunity to visit the baby, pray, and they put some envelopes. They give cash. In the Western society, they buy clothes, they buy diapers, they buy formula, milk, and stroller. All of that is good and all of that is permissible with the intention of helping one another and exchanging gifts. You will be rewarded, inshallah. So, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned earlier, some people are very sensitive to any practice, even if it is good, simply because it is done by non-Muslims or it is common in non-Muslim societies. There is no problem whatsoever as long as this practice does not contradict our belief, does not nullify our aqidah. Huh? You'll be only worried when they say that they go to church on Christmas Eve and they pray and they invite everyone. Don't go, that's not permissible. A Muslim, right? Well, they came and they attended my dad's funeral. I would like to go and attend somebody else's funeral at the church. That's not permissible. But exchanging the condolences, visiting them, supporting them, praying for those who are alive among them, this is all permissible. So not everything, as I made a live broadcast a few days ago, with regards to the permissibility of saying good morning, or saying good afternoon, or saying good evening, or good night, any of these good wishes. Is there anything wrong with it? Is it haram? Absolutely not. This is not haram whatsoever. We say that the greeting of Muslims is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, which is very comprehensive, which is wishing peace, rahmah, and barakah. This is all great. But if I don't add to it, or if I add to it something else and I say good morning, is there anything wrong with that? No, but this is a greeting of the kuffar. When you wish somebody good morning, there is nothing wrong with that. And it will not make you any lesser believer or will contradict your faith. Barakallahu feekum. So we'll take the following caller, who's Abdul Rahman from Nigeria. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abdul Rahman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Go ahead, Abdul Rahman.
I'm from Nigeria.
Go ahead. Welcome to Huda TV, Abdul Rahman. What is your question, please?
I just want to ask if how are we going to do Janessa for a bond tight?
You're asking about doing phone tag, correct?
Yes, sir. To do Janessa for me a bond tight.
Well, I'm afraid that I didn't get your question correctly.
Okay. But the question I'm asking now, assuming a pregnant woman delivered a child, and that child died immediately.
Abdul Rahman, one more time. Let me confirm. Are you asking about doing phone tag to tag somebody's phone while he or she is making a phone call?
Hey, please let me call you back.
Okay. Barakallah fi. Oh, anyway, let me shed some light on this matter, because Allah the Almighty spoke about it already in Surah Al-Hujurat, when Allah the Almighty says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. At-tajassus is spying on others. Because somebody is nosy or somebody wants to find out what this person is saying behind their backs, none of that is permissible, even family members, unless if it is authorized by the government, who want to find out whether this person is committing a crime or premeditating committing a crime or involved in any of the activities which would harm people and terrify them, then this is permissible. But generally speaking, to spy on others or to plant a spy device or an app on their devices or their phones to hear what they say for no reason, but just because you want to find out for your own self, this is not permissible. As a matter of fact, I would say that is sufficient for the day, inshallah. And next episode, inshallah, will be from our studio. Until then, I leave you all in the care and the protection of the Almighty Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Allah our God is the greatest. Allah our God is the greatest. The one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best. And give his best religion to them.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about it in paradise. Worshipping cows, fire and stones. Selling the best with the cheapest price.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise. Worshipping cows, fire and stones. Selling their best with the cheapest price.
Rasulullah.